Recent news of bookstores up for sale or closing. Changes in the newspaper and publishing industries. Everything moving online or to e-readers. Those trends raise the topic of the future of print media. And on this week's Eastern Standard, we're going to focus on the future of such media in our region. We're interested in your questions, comments, or personal stories. Please write to us by email right now, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. You can post on the Facebook page or the WEKU website at weku.fm or send a tweet at WEKUEST. Future of print media and brick and mortar bookstores. It's time for Eastern Standard, right after the latest news from NPR. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. Hello, I'm John Hingsbergen. A recent newspaper article indicating that Lexington's Morris Bookshop was to be sold or closed caused us to wonder about the future of brick-and-mortar bookstores. It's a trend that has certainly been underway for at least a couple of decades. As we think about e-readers and the move of so many things that we read and learn from to online services, that's our topic on this week's program. We're interested in hearing from you about the use of books and the value of books in your life. And we have some guests we're going to talk about this trend. Are bookstores physically going away? Are we moving to a total universe of total electronic reading? We're interested in hearing from you by email at wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Post on the website or Facebook or send a tweet during the show at WEKUEST. And we'll open up the phone lines in just a few minutes as well for your questions, your comments, your personal stories about books and reading on this week's Eastern Standard. And we're going to start off with two guests who are with us in the studio on this Thursday morning. And starting off the program, we have Kathy Rather, owner of Unique Books in Lexington. Kathy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Also with us is Kelly Smith, a librarian and coordinator for collections and discovery at the Eastern Kentucky University Library. Thank you, Kelly, for being here.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Let's talk, ladies, first about what you do. Kathy, Unique Books is one of, I guess, a handful of privately owned, non-chain book vendors in the Lexington area. Let's talk about what your store.
We're a general used bookstore. Primarily, we have a large collection of art books. We predominantly are modern classics. We have everything.
When you say you're predominantly used books?
Oh, yes.
Is this a business where people bring in the books and sell them to you? You negotiate those transactions?
We do.
And then you put them back out?
Yes.
How is that a profitable business? How is that, you know, how long have you been doing this, and is it a going concern?
I've been doing it for 16 years. We were 2 years in one location. We outgrew that location, had a choice of either moving or closing, chose to move, and I've been where I am. I've been there for 14 years.
And you're in the
Woodland Triangle.
Woodland Triangle area. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why do customers come to you? Why do they shop at your store? And who are talk about the profile of the people that you deal with every day.
My customers are predominantly male. We're surrounded by women's clothing stores.
So you're an alternative.
I believe we are, yes. And probably 90% of our customers are male. But
they're brought into the neighborhood for shopping ventures, so, and then you're someplace where they can...
Someplace where they can go, yeah.
And do they buy books, or do they merely browse?
They buy books.
What are they buying?
Well, we sell a lot of science fiction. We do sell a lot of art books. We sell a lot of what I call modern classics, your Dickens, your Hemingway, your Faulkner. And we also sell the other spectrum. We sell mysteries. We do a lot of Nostalgic mysteries. We do a lot of techno thrillers. Philosophy. I have a very small religion section. For history, there are other used bookstores such as Black Swan or Glover's, which are more into history. That's really just a general overview.
Why would people buy a used book rather than go to a brand new copy of a book, or even access it as an online or an e-book?
I think number one, having the physical possession of the book. There's a certain smell to a book, and a lot of your older books are they're not online, or they've been redone as what they call e-prints, mm-hmm. and they don't have the same cachet.
And also, there's a tactile element to holding the book
is.
In your hand
yes,
while reading.
Yes, there is. And the other thing is that I think that people come to used bookstores looking for backlists. If you're into a series, say like a mystery series, I get a lot of people looking for older books in the series. I'm a great one for picking up the middle book in a series of mysteries and discovering that, oh, I don't know who all these characters
are. You don't have the background.
Right. So I think that's part of it.
Kathy Rather is owner of Unique Books in Lexington. Also with us in the studio, Kelly Smith, librarian and coordinator for collections and discovery at Eastern Kentucky University's library. And Kelly, let's talk about the role of the librarian in today's world. I mean, so much has moved to as we've mentioned, the e-readers and electronic methods of reading. I assume at the university level, what's happening is happening as we see in high schools, where students are issued iPads and where people do a lot of their reading electronically. Has the library's function on campus changed in the last decade or two?
I think the library's function has certainly gotten more complex. We have to meet the needs of the people who want to use those online resources, but there are still a large number of students and faculty who would prefer to read print books. So we meet both needs. The largest increasing population at EKU are online students. So we do see that we've had an increase in ebook reading over the past 5 years and a decrease in print circulation. But there's definitely still the need for print books. And a lot of what we do is provide access to the books through subscriptions. We provide access to free online resources. So a lot of our role is changing to be more that of a curatorial role.
Are libraries going to physically change? I mean, right now, on the EKU campus, we can walk into the library and there will be areas where we will see large amounts of books on shelves physically available. Will there, in your guess, at some point, will the libraries look different because not as many people are accessing the physical books?
I think libraries are already looking different because a lot of the space is being used in ways other than collections. So libraries are becoming, and have been for a long time, a hub of gathering for groups, doing research, just a third space to go where students can concentrate and they're not in their dorm rooms. We do still see, though, in the EKU library, I'm not sure if you've been there recently, but we have the Grand Reading Room, which is a lovely space right off the lobby in the middle of the library, and it's kind of the heart. And so people will come there, bring their print books, study together, and then lining the walls, we have all of our new books, and we have staff picks, and every day when I walk through that room, I see people browsing those books. So they're still looking for print books. They're still looking for the serendipity of finding things that they didn't already know about. So I think that role is still there. It's become more complex. It's not just that anymore.
We decided to do this program again because of news that one of Lexington's bookstores, the Morris Bookshop, was putting its business up for sale and possibly closing if it doesn't sell. And we were immediately guessing or believing that that's a result of the decline in the over-the-counter book sales. But I believe, Kathy and Kelly, you both believe that that's not necessarily the case, that the brick-and-mortar bookstores are not going away?
No. There's actually, I wish I was better on my facts, but there has actually been an increase in the number of bookstores that have opened in the last couple of years. Many more have opened as opposed to have closed.
Yeah, and even within the past 2 years, if you look at publisher statistics, paperback sales have increased 3%, hardbacks are up 8%, ebooks have dropped 20% in the past 2 years. So there was a peak a few years ago, and people are sort of returning to the print mm-hmm. for that tactile experience and, you know, for other reasons.
I mean, there are a number of formats for the e-readers, and I guess the Kindle is an Amazon product. I mean, they mm-hmm. created that. They have marketed that. And Amazon is actually building physical bookstores now. What do we know about that?
Well, that's to compete with Barnes and Noble, they also do their own publishing, and they have an awful tendency to get into squabbles, I guess, for want of a better way to put it, with publishers, that they'll go through spells where they won't carry a certain publisher's books because they don't want to pay the price that the publisher wants. They are very big on doing everything they can to maximize profits, which I don't have a problem with, but I don't want one company telling me what I can read and can't read.
No. Yeah, and I think in terms of them building these brick-and-mortar stores, they see the potential, again, for the people like to have that experience to go and browse and serendipitously mm-hmm. discover things, and that's just easier to do with bookshelves than it is online.
I mean, a lot of the places yeah. that we've known as bookstores certainly continue to sell books, but everybody seems to have a mandatory coffee shop.
Right.
Or they have CDs, or they have electronics or devices, you know, the I guess accessories for your e-readers or for your mobile devices and so forth. Is that part of what is keeping brick-and-mortar stores open? I mean, obviously, Kathy, I guess that's not part of what you're doing with your bookstore.
No, we never have been, I'll make no bones about it, we've never been successful with anything other than books.
So you're not going to make me a cup of coffee when
no.
I come in?
No. You wouldn't want to drink my coffee anyway.
We do have a coffee shop at the EKU library, so...
But these ancillary businesses, I would imagine that those are a strategy on the part of some of these companies in order to stay afloat.
They are. Like I said, we just have never been, and I have noticed with used bookstores, of which I have been an aficionado of used bookstores since I was a kid. So I've never noticed that they did well with anything other than books.
More of a pure environment, just mm-hmm. just books, only mm-hmm. books, mm-hmm. and that's what you do. We're mm-hmm. talking about books and brick-and-mortar bookstores on this week's Eastern Standard. 800-621-8890 if you'd like to be part of our conversation. We'll be right back.
And it is a charming little bookstore. You probably sell, what, $350,000 worth of books in a year?
How did you know that?
I'm in the book business.
I am in the book business.
I see. And we are the Price Club. We sell cheap books. I have in my possession the super-duper secret printout of the sales figures of a bookstore, so inconsequential yet full of its own virtue that I was immediately compelled to rush over there for fear that it's going to put me out of business.
A clip from a movie from 1998, You've Got Mail. When it came out in 1998, larger book emporiums such as the one Tom Hanks owns in the movie were taking over the business. Now even the larger bookstores are struggling to survive in some people's mind, such as the recent bankruptcy of Hastings, the complete demise of Borders, and we understand Joseph Beth and its parent company have gone through bankruptcy. Now smaller bookshops continuing to hang on. Among those smaller bookshops in the Lexington area, Unique Books, Kathy Rather, a guest on our program this week on Eastern Standard. Kelly Smith is librarian and coordinator for collections and discovery at Eastern Kentucky University's library. And now joining us on the phone line is Ronald Davis. And Ronald is the author and co-owner of Wild Fig Books in Lexington. Ron, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Sorry you were unable to get away and be here with us in the studio, but thanks for being on the line.
All right. Thank you for inviting me.
Tell me about Wild Fig Bookstores. Kathy's business is continuing to thrive. The Morris Bookshop is for sale and will possibly go out of business. What did we hear? The Family Bookstore, is that one that is in Lexington that is talking about going under or has already gone under? What's the status with Wild Fig?
We're somewhere in between all of that. Originally, we had closed the original store after 4 years at its original previous location, and that was following the location where Morgan Adams Books used to be here in Lexington. We took over that spot and maintained the bookstore there for 4 years. But we had closed because of just the climate here in Lexington. We just couldn't maintain a good quality used bookstore that just sold general books without specializing in something. So we had closed in February of last year, and but more of this store, we kept the name when we reopened in September. But we probably should have named it something else. But we're more of a book boutique than an actual bookstore. We have maybe 2,000 books. We have focus on our cafe, on our coffee and our menu items.
So when you say a boutique bookstore, I mean, so we have a very limited number of publications?
We have maybe 2,000 books total in the store, and about half of those are used. The remaining used books we had, because the original Wild Fig books, we had 30,000 used books and maybe about 500 new books. And we have maybe twice that in new books now. We would like to, our original goal was that by the end of this year to have all new books. Even though we have a much smaller collection of books, when we opened up in September, we actually were doing better than we did having 30,000 used books in a day. But for us, opening up a new bookstore in an area that's going through gentrification and trying to get in on the ground swell of that, hoping to be able to take advantage of that. We've had to figure out who our new customer base is. It's mm-hmm. completely different than what it was at our old location. So that's where most of our growing pains are now. It may just end up being a few years from now that it's just not the right location.
You are where? On Limestone, is it?
Yeah, the 700 block of Limestone, just like past Al's Bar. We're near the Kentucky for Kentucky warehouse, the Fun Mall. But this is an area that's growing, receiving a lot of interest from developers and young families looking to relocate somewhere in Lexington that they feel comfortable in. This is a pretty good spot for that.
Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between a store such as yours? I mean, Kathy Rather with Unique Books, how many books do you have?
About 25,000.
25,000, okay. So, I mean, the clientele for both of your stores, Ron and Kathy, would be people who come in to browse, or are they looking for something very specific? Have they called ahead or looked online to locate something, and then they have a very specific mission in mind when they arrive?
I get all three. People that know exactly what they want and hope that we have it. People that are just out to browse, and people that do call ahead and they'll place an order to come pick it up.
Ron?
Yeah, for our old location, we had more folks were going out during antique mall sales because we were in a strip mall that had an antique mall. There had two other businesses that dealt with booth sales, Pops resales, other items, other places for people to come and spend a day, make an outing of it. So we would receive people out browsing more than anything else. Of course, we would get people in looking for something specific, but it was more of an older clientele what we had. And moving here to Limestone, that's completely changed for us. We pretty much cater to the neighborhood specifically and all of Lexington in general. So we'll get people in looking specifically for, like, new books. We try to deal with, nonfiction sells well for us. Children's books have done well for us because there are young families here looking for, books for their, toddlers. So those have done well for us. But it's a whole different crowd. We don't get the people coming through that we could count on with the antique sales, that crowd who would come out, definitely were going to spend money on books. We have younger families, our students, who don't have the cash. They might come in and browse, but they may leave empty-handed. So hopefully our cafe will offer them something, like they'll get a cup of coffee or something to compensate for that. But
So Ron, who is your competition? Is your competition someone such as Kathy or one of the big bookstores? Is it Amazon and the Kindle online books, or is it Starbucks or some other industry or business?
Well, coffee, as far as the cafe goes, our mindset is not so much of trying to be necessarily competitive against others. We try to compliment is our goal. And it was that way with our original bookstore. People would always ask if we were in competition with, like, Morris Books or Joseph Beth. But at that time, we had 30,000 used books. And I was like, no, we love those places. Please, go buy your brand-new book from Morris and then, read it in the car on the way to us, and we'll buy it from you. and we'll turn around and sell it to somebody else. That was very much, we love Morris Books. We love new. There was no competition. What hurt us for that business was the opening of a second Half-Price Books, because we dealt with general books. We didn't specialize in, like, history or anything. We took a lot of good quality contemporary, as many contemporary books as we could. And the first Half-Price Books that was on the other side of town wasn't much of a problem. Our customer base would bring us books from the other side of town because they didn't want to drive out that far. They would just come to us. But once they opened up the second Half-Price Books, even though we paid like 10 times more than what they paid, for their books, we just couldn't beat the convenience of, having a bookstore that's, 5 minutes from your house as opposed to 10 or 15 minutes from your house. So that, from the day they opened up, I think it was on February 14th, two or three years ago. From that day, we really saw a decline in the quality of books that were coming in to be sold to us by the public. So that was, a first bad sign for us, because if you're going to have a small quality used bookstore, you have to have access to good used books. Well, so that did that in. But for the location here, where our competition is, we really don't have them. I mean, people were coming to the old bookstore and say, oh, I wish we had a bookstore in our neighborhood. We live in, we just moved to North Limestone area. So when we opened up here, it seemed like a perfect fit. We didn't realize that, a lot of these families are cash strapped, or, young new families or students, and they don't have the income really to, go out and buy books, more than, once a month or so. Well, so it's just relearning that, I can't say we really have any competition. I think, you know, there used to be days where, you know, cities could have the big chain stores, and they would compete against each other, and they all thrived. People loved books. People still love books like they still love records. Maybe not to the degree. I think what happens is, I think the Internet overall hurts book sales, because we all want to read, but we read so much on our social media sites that it kind of devalues the need for us, or replaces the need for us to go out and buy a book. We read on our Facebook page. We repost, you know, this article and that article. So we've done a lot of reading in a day, and we don't think about, I would love to go out and just buy this book now. You know, where in the past, we would just, you would go about your day, you would go to work, you would work, and then you would, you know, maybe go watch TV for a while, and then you wanted to relax, and you wanted to read, and you would read a book, not anything on your phone. But we have so much material on our phones in the palm of our hand that we read all day.
So you're saying, Ron, that's affecting whether or not we want to buy books? I mean, let's talk. I mean, I'm interested in your opinion. Both Kathy and Kelly here have said that they feel we've got a resurgence of physical books versus the e-readers and the electronic formats.
Yeah, definitely is. But that's why I've never thought of, like, the e-readers as they, of course, they hurt the business, but I don't see them as what's hurting us now. I think what hurts us now is just the fact that we all I mean, every day I'm on my phone.
Too much information, too much happening all the time.
Too much information, and we don't see quality information in a book, something that's going to relax us, because we go to our phone. Our phones are our first line of access to everything. So even if there's a book that we do like, if we want to read George R. R. Martin's latest book, we're going to go online first and, you know, see who else likes it, see you know, what the reviews are and what people's opinions are. We'll do that first before we buy the book. And I think that kind of diminishes the need to go out and buy the book for a while. But they're right. You know, book sales are up. You know, e-book sales have fallen for a couple of years. And it really is just about, for any small bookstore, independent store, it's more about marketing and finding your audience and your niche.
Ron Davis is author and co-owner of Wild Fig Books in Lexington, with us in the studio for this week's Eastern Standard. We have Kathy Rather, owner of Unique Books in Lexington, and Kelly Smith, librarian and coordinator for collections and discovery at the Eastern Kentucky University Library. This is Eastern Standard, 800-621-8890, our phone number. You can write to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or send a tweet at WEKUEST. And the question for you this morning, do you still buy books? Do you use an e-reader? Is there any difference in that reading experience? What about physical reading in general versus the electronic online reading experience? Talk a little bit about your experience and how you see publication and the print media, the trends of print media moving forward. We really don't have time, and we're not prepared to go, you know, to talk about the newspaper business, but there's certainly a similarity there with the fact that people are getting their news online rather than from a newspaper being delivered on their doorstep every morning. 800-621-8890. Write to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Let's talk about books and your relationship to books. Kathy, Kelly, your reactions to what Ron has had to say about his business. Sounds like a bit of a struggle there, trying to make a go of things at that limestone location.
Yeah. there's times we have ebbs and flows. I mean, we've had ebbs and flows. 2008 for us was a watershed year. We actually had to downsize.
Yeah. That was because of the economy?
Because of the economy, yeah. Hmm. It really went to hell in a handbasket. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
that's telling it like it is.
Yeah, but we wound up having to, we had the store, and then we had a little store next door with a walkthrough, and we had to give up the second part of the store. Or was that or close? And we've held on. We try very hard. We try to have the things that our customers are looking for. We try to have good quality. We try to give value for the money.
I think it's an interesting point about the large amount of reading that people do online now, maybe cutting into people wanting to read books. The number of people reading books has fallen over the past few years. But something interesting is that a lot of people are listening, so downloaded audiobooks are very popular. And in terms of the news business, as you mentioned, you know, podcasts and Serial, and that is up. So people are wanting to listen to things, maybe wanting a break from reading, which is kind of interesting.
I mean, isn't that a different experience? I mean, I'm an auditory focused person working in radio for all these years, mm-hmm. and have never enjoyed listening to books on yeah. tape or CD or whatever they're on now. You know, they're in my phone if I were to try to listen. There's something about that experience of listening to sometimes a disembodied voice or sometimes a voice that's, you know, it's not the voice I expected to hear. When I read a Stephen King novel, right. and then I get the recorded version of it, it's like, well, that's not the way I envisioned hearing that story.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a matter of time, though. I mean, so I don't usually listen to audiobooks, but when I'm going on a long road trip, that's a perfect thing to do. So I listened to Jane Austen's Persuasion the other day on a long road trip, and it was just, you know, really enjoyable and read by, you know, an actress with good acting chops. So that, you know, that can make the experience good.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Cracker Barrel has where you can rent at one Cracker Barrel an audiobook, and then you can turn it in at another Cracker Barrel.
Oh my! So on your vacation trip, yeah. you'll be passing another one soon mm-hmm. enough.
Yes, very definitely. And obviously, for them, it's very successful.
We're talking about books. We're talking about reading. Is our book brick and mortar bookstores on the decline? And what is the future of reading? 800-621-8890. Write to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Ron Davis of Wild Fig, I know, are you going to be able to stay on with us? We're going to take a short break. Okay, because we'll be back in a little more than a minute and want to come back to you and talk a little bit more about the future of reading and the future of bookstores and how, okay. And be interested from our listeners. What should people such as Ron and Kathy be doing to keep you coming in to what services or what products should they be providing to keep you as interested readers and consumers of print content? What do you need and what would you like to see happening to the local corner bookstore? 800-621-8890, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. You can, of course, post on the WEKU Facebook page or on the WEKU website at weku.fm.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. We're talking about books on this week's show. The news in the last couple of weeks that one of Lexington's independent bookstores, Morris Books, was up for sale and possibly closure if it didn't sell, caused us to raise the question, what is the status of brick-and-mortar bookstores? We did invite folks from Morris Bookstores and a number of other businesses to be part of our conversation, but they were unable to make the time to join us here on this Thursday morning. But we'd like to talk still about books with Ron Davis, who's author and co-owner of Wild Fig in Lexington. We have with us Kathy Rather of Unique Books. And also with us from the University Libraries at Eastern Kentucky University, Kelly Smith. 800-621-8890. Write to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. Post on Facebook or the website. Your relationship with books, are you reading fewer actual physical books and reading online, or as we're hearing, the trend is moving back toward the actual use of printed books and publications? Are you finding that that is in your life as well? Now, if you've been to the beach yet this summer or not yet gone to the beach, are you taking a book or are you reading off of the phone or the Kindle or the tablet? We're interested in your relationship to reading materials. 800-621-8890. And back to Ron Davis of Wild Fig Books in Lexington. It does sound like you are struggling a little bit trying to keep Wild Fig operating. What's it going to take? I mean, is there a future for your business? Is it struggling? I mean, what will cause it to go under? What will cause it to stay around for another 15 or 20 years?
Nothing we can put our finger on right now. At the moment, we are struggling. We did great. We've been open now since September, so it's been, 9 or 10 months. First 4 months were awesome. It looked like, you know, it was the best decision we had made to reopen. We were getting a lot of students in. There seemed to be more life on Limestone at the time. It was a good time. And after the holidays, and the focus on work, especially the younger patrons we have who are students, began to buckle down and worry about those. We just saw less of them, so our sales kind of declined after that. So it's been a struggle for us. The first 4 months were awesome. The second 4 months were lousy. And ever since about May, it's been back and forth, you know, nothing predictable.
I mean, Kathy, you've been at this for a while. Is that the way it works? Are there trends? Is it seasonal? Does the business come and go, and you have your great times and your very weak times?
Yes. The first quarter of every year, the winter quarter, is always very slow. Frankly, we tend to rely more on internet sales at that time of year as opposed to in-store sales.
First quarter being right after the holidays.
Yes.
People are giving books perhaps as gifts,
yes.
And then that dries up.
That and, frankly, the weather plays a big part in it. If it's raining, I won't have a sale. We won't have anybody out, but we're a walking neighborhood, so consequently, everybody's just scooting to get from point A to point B.
This is Eastern Standard. We're talking about the future of print media and publications. 800-621-8890. Write to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. And we do have some listeners on the line. And hopefully Billy from Lexington is still on the line. Billy, thanks for calling. Not there? Billy is not there. Okay, so shall we try Mary Ann in Versailles? Mary Ann, are you on the line? Mary Ann?
Hello?
Yes, Mary Ann.
Yes.
Hey, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
All right. Well, I'm calling from a totally different perspective, and that is the spouse of someone who is a writer, and what they see as what they prefer in terms of their books right now. And I'm not talking of before or in the future, but right now, for someone who writes books, they get their better profit from the e-books, from the Kindle books, as opposed to the paperback or hardback copies.
So your spouse is, I mean, you don't have to go through an editor or somebody to reject your publication, right? So
No. These are edited books. You know, these are published books. But Amazon, when you go through Amazon, and of course these books are always also carried by private book stores, from the author's point of view, it's the Kindle, the e-books, that generate the most income for the author.
Why would that be? How does that work economically?
Well, for say a regular a paperback book, Jim might get, I'm not sure of the exact number, but it might be $3 and change for one of his books. Whereas when it's a Kindle, when it's an e-book, it's $5.
And the purchase price between the book, the physical book, and the online book, what's the comparison there?
The physical book might be, say hypothetically $20-some. The Kindle might be $8, $9, $10.
Okay.
So the author gets more money, I would suspect, across the board, not just my spouse, but anyone who writes. So I think that's what's hurting the business, too, that this gentleman was talking about, because I was very interested when he was saying how social media and people reading all day online and with their phones is cutting into the people who are buying hardbound books. And the other comment I wanted to make was, as the wife of my husband's a former editor of a newspaper, of a major newspaper. Jim was the editor-in-chief of the Chicago Tribune.
Hmm.
And at the time that he was heading up that newspaper, it was good news, and people bought the newspaper. And then when the newspaper went online, the newspapers gave away their product. They weren't charging as they are now. So the newspapers kind of disappeared. In fact, right now you could take your newspaper, throw it up in the air, and read the hard news before it hits the ground. We all know what's happened with newspapers, and the key to it is, as that gentleman said, is because we're getting so much more information online for free.
Mary Ann, thank you so much for raising that issue. I'm going to ask our guests to talk a little bit about the economics of the online, the e-books versus the print publications. And of course, Kathy, Ron, Kelly here, of course, are not in the business of publishing books. But maybe Kathy and Ron could talk about your relationships with the publishers. I mean, the expense of the cost of books when you do purchase new books.
Okay. I can speak also as having been in the printing industry. What she's referring to is the fact that if you do a print book, you have that expense. You have the paper, you have editing, you have the cost of the ink, you have marketing. Whether you do an ebook, you don't have any of those costs. So
just paying for servers and data.
Correct. But you also, you lose something with the ebooks. You cannot share the book. I can't turn around and say to Kelly, here, I read this great book. Let me pass it on to you, or let me sell it to you. You limit your market. If nothing else, I know people, there's a lot of people that, especially authors, who do not like the secondary market, which is what I'm part of. Because they feel, but they have been paid for their work. When that book goes out the first time, they are paid for it. We work on a much smaller margin than a publisher does, or than a major bookstore does. But somebody else can enjoy that book, which you cannot do with ebooks.
Ron?
I think, my co-owner, Crystal Wilkinson, she says a lot of her past catalog is sold on Amazon in e-books and physical books. But I think what hurts physical book sales for writers is a lot of times they are, they are often self-made or, self-published, and they rely on social media to sell their work more than they do bookstores or the neighborhoods that those bookstores service. So it's easy for you to build a marketing campaign based off of Twitter or Facebook or whatever and see some success from that, see some type of response. We'll get people to come into the bookstore and say, I'm an author, I have this book. I just wrote it, probably self-published. Sometimes there are other publishers involved. but they're not regionally known. There's little for me to build upon as far as like what their book might be about to customers that come into the store. Their book may not be a good fit for, you know, what their store, what the clients in that store sell. So, but that's on, that's up to, because the industry is different, more of that is on the authors to go out and decide how to market their books, mm-hmm. and how to help the bookstores market their books. You just can't drop your book off at bookstores and think, okay, I got my book on the shelf, now people are going to see it. Well, that's kind of, you know, a good-sized bookstore like Morris Books, you know, 20, 25,000 books on their shelf. There's a lot of books screaming for your attention.
You got to get the attention somehow with some marketing.
And a lot of times, and it does involve social media these days, so you have to let people know, I have a really good product. You can go buy the physical copy at Morris Books, or you can buy it, you can download it if that's your preference. Mm-hmm. But for the physical copy, I think writers don't do enough service on their part, or the bookseller's part, with the lack of promotion for it.
We want to get back to the phone in just a moment, but Kelly Smith from the EKU Libraries, reaction to what you're hearing here.
In terms of the academic book market and the share of profits for authors, I do think it's similar to what the caller said, with over time the ebook sales amount to more, because the first year the books, so my husband is a professor at Berea and he published a book with Oxford University Press, which was published in both print and online format about 5 years ago. And so the first year there were some print reimbursements, but then ever since then it's all been through electronic. And what happens is as a book ages, ebook publishers will package, so they'll sell these ebook packages to libraries, and so they'll bundle older ebooks into a package, and the authors will get some proceeds from those sales over time. So that's an interesting twist on it in terms of the academic books.
Let's go back to the phone. Is it Tom from Corbin? Tom, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Oh, thank you for being patient with us. Go right ahead, Tom.
Well, I'm actually a comic book historian. The print copies of things have a lot more value to me than the digital copy.
Speaking of digital, we're having some issues with the quality of the phone connection here, Tom. So let's see if we can. That's okay. But you're a comic book historian.
Yes, sir. The print editions have a lot more value to me because they have ads and letter pages and things that the digital editions just don't. The comic book industry has sort of moved not really away from publishing a single issue story, but they've started doing something that a lot of people call writing for the trade paperback. That they're not selling on newsstands anymore, and it's kind of hurting some comic book shops. So I just wanted to say, get out there and support your local comic book shop. If there's something you're interested in, have the guys that work there pull it for you, because they will do like a pull service and a subscription service and stuff. And now's the time to get into it with Marvel and DC have both had their biggest months in 20 years in the last 2 months, with DC's Rebirth and Marvel Civil War, and it's just a really great time to get into it. So that's really all I had is, go out and support your local comic book shop, just like you would your local, bookshop.
All right. Tom, thank you so much. Publications are publications, and tastes vary from one form to another, and comic books survive. I'll tell you personally, my attempt to read comics or comic books when I've seen them electronically is like that. That's a very, very frustrating experience in my experience. Thank you so much, Tom, for your comments on this week's Eastern Standard. Let me go around the horn here in the last couple of minutes with Ron Davis, with Kathy Rather and Kelly Smith. Talk about the future of the print book industry. Ron, what is the future? Do you see a bright future ahead for reading hardbound books and books being sold at corner stores?
I think people, we love the feeling. We love a tactile sensation. We love tangible things. I think it also is good because it teaches us to take care of stuff. When we have when there's a physical edition of whatever it is your interest is, whether it's music or reading, I think it teaches you a certain, you form a certain bond with that material. that you don't form with just digital material. It's just digital. It's just, you know, you're attached to your device that you read that or listen to that information on. So you love your phone. You love your tablet. But if you're used to books, you love your books. If you're used to records, you know, in your audiophile, you love records, maybe even cassettes. You love the tangible aspect of that, and that's what I love about books. You know, you get down to the last 10 pages of a book, and the anticipation heightens because you know something has to happen in these last 10 pages, and you don't get that feel necessarily from an e-book. You're just reading, and next thing you know, it's like, oh, I'm on the last page, and you miss that sensation. But there's a beautiful sensation to that, the way it involves your senses, not just, you know, your eyes and your reading and your comprehension.
All right.
But just the style and the beauty and the craft of a physical copy. I think there's a place for that. I think there will always be a place for that.
And Ron Davis and Kathy Rather, likewise. You believe we're going to continue reading books?
Oh, very definitely, very, very definitely. I just cannot imagine a world without books. I mean, would you want to walk into a library and just see a Kindle sitting on one shelf?
Or a connection to plug your Kindle in
to
download.
Exactly. I just cannot conceive of such a thing.
And speaking of the library,
yes.
Kelly?
Yeah, I think both formats will continue to thrive, actually, because they meet different needs for different people. So I don't see print books going away anytime soon.
Well, thank you for all three of you for being part of our program this morning, Ron Davis, Kathy Rather, and Kelly Smith on this week's Eastern Standard. We'll remind you that this program will be available as a downloadable podcast. Sorry, we do not publish it, but you can listen to it online from our website at weku.fm. Our producers for this week's program are our students Marissa Hempel, Grant Willoughby, and Brian Burkhart, and at the controls for Eastern Standard, Brian Bartlett. I'm John Hingsberg, and thank you for being part of our program. Thank you for tuning in, and be sure to tune in for the encore broadcast of our show Sunday evening at 6. Eastern Standard is a production of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University. Thank you for listening.